Stupid kid. Pulls out his hand, rubs it. It's okay, there's no blood. All right, I can still play guitar today, thank goodness. Look, you think that would have taught me a lesson? I get to 14 years old. I'm in the kitchen and in Kapiti, and there's a blender. I don't know how many of you have done this. This is so dumb. And it's got a steel blade, like one of those Kenwoods. And they look pretty sharp. And I thought, I wonder what would happen if I turn it on and put my fingers in there. And I did it. Oh, no, that's not good. And there was blood this time. Okay, so those are two of the dumbest things I've done. There's more, believe me. But I'll let that sit with you. All right, now, doing dumb things. Jonah's the king of being dumb. Actually, Tim Keller loves Jonah in the Old Testament. It's his favorite Old Testament Bible character because it reminds him. It says, basically, Jonah is the Peter of the Old Testament. And most of us love Peter, don't we? Why do we love Peter? Because he's really dumb. But he's so unabashed about it when they come to record these in the Gospels. And it's the same in Jonah. They don't try and hide anything. He's an anti-hero. In fact, they highlight his dumbness. They highlight it. Let's have a look at it as we go through, because it's quite cool. He's really bumbling. What, darling? Sorry? Oh, yeah. Craft. Okay. I forgot all about that. Okay, this is kind of cool. Watch this. Okay, so if you want to make one of these, don't all of you come up. Okay, you need to do some cutting out, so bring your parents up with you as well. They're very cool, and there's a verse that goes on the back. Okay, sorry, I forgot all about that. Use this as a model. There you go, darling. There's the model. All right, Jonah, back to Jonah. So Jonah was the Peter of the Old Testament. Nothing is covered up. It's highlighted. I wonder if, guys, if you could just keep it down a bit. Lucy. I wonder, have you ever had someone who's in charge of you or overseeing you, loves you, cares for you, is responsible for you, if they've asked you to do something, you've done the opposite? How many people have done that? I've done that. Okay, most of you are being honest. Now, when I was learning to drive, I was 14, 15, I was coming through Kapiti, and it's about a 30 zone, and I was going a little bit fast. I was going about 40 in Mum's Mini with my mum. And Mum said, "Ian, slow down." So I sped up. And anyway, so you go through Kapiti and then you get to the main road and it goes up to 80. Anyway, I got to the 80 zone and Mum said, "Ian, you're going too fast." And I slowed right down. Way below 80. And Mum just had enough. She stopped the car. She pulled over. I'm driving. And she kicked me out of the driver's seat. I was doing the opposite of what she wanted me to do. I don't know why. Someone said it's because I'm a boy. Is that true? Oh, okay, all right. There's some women who do that as well? Some girls? All right, that's good. Anyway, Jonah, let's look at Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to the big city of Nineveh and preach to them. They're in a bad way. This is the message. I can't ignore it any longer. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. He went to a place called Tarshish. Now, it's not just down the road. It's actually 2,500 miles away. 2,500 miles away. Now, Jonah, he was pretty stupid, but he knew a thing or two. He must have known that God is known as, the hound of heaven. Has anyone ever heard that? Oh, it's an amazing expression. So God is known as the hound of heaven. I don't know who came up with the phrase, but it means God is like a bloodhound. When he's after you, he won't let go. When he's got you, he won't let go. He will follow you to the ends of the earth. Now, you look at those parables about the lost pearl and the coin, that's what that's about. So it's really true. So those of you who have got kids who've left the church, who've left the faith, be encouraged. God is the hound of heaven. It's not, you're not the hound. Don't get confused. You are not the hound. The hound is God himself. And he will pursue your son, your daughter, who's been lost to the ends of the earth. And I know that because I'm witnessing that in this church and with my own kids. Keep praying for them. That's an aside, but I think it's an important one, okay? Now, come back to Jonah. He went in the opposite direction for 2,500 miles. Why did he do it? Why? What was he doing? What did he think he was doing? He didn't realize that God was the hound of heaven. But why did he do it? Well, the book tells us, the story tells us directly why. It says, after being in the belly of a fish and praying a psalm of deliverance, he is spat out onto dry land. We saw that in the video. God then commands him again to go to Nineveh, which he finally does. He obeys at last. And he preaches to Nineveh, and he says, in 40 days, if you don't change your mind, you will be conquered. The king of Assyria, that great Assyrian city, hears, and he obeys immediately, unlike Jonah. Irony? Ben mentioned that last week. So you've got this pagan king who's cruel and arrogant, immediately obeying God. In contrast to nincompoop Jonah. Lovely, isn't it? Nothing's hidden. His character flaws are exposed and highlighted. What happens then? They repent. And then it says, quite interesting, Jonah 4:1, it says, Jonah was greatly displeased. I think it's an English translation. It means he was blimming angry. Yet Jonah was greatly displeased. He was blimming angry. He can use other words for that. And he said to God, this is what he said. This is exactly what I'm afraid was going to happen in the first place. Idiot. You see, I knew, and this is the key line, I knew that you are gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. Now, the word used for love here is a Hebrew word, hesed. It's more than the love that we generally talk about when we watch movies and rom-coms. Hesed. Hesed refers to a covenant word, which expresses a behavior expected in a covenant relationship, like a marriage. Like a marriage. No matter how you feel, you are committed and loyal to this person. And you will stay loyal, like God is loyal to us, the hound of heaven, to Jonah, and to the people of Nineveh. Now that's interesting. Jonah knew what God was like, and he hated the Ninevites. He hated them. He hated them. Not just because they were proud, overconfident, and cruel, and immoral, but he hated them also because the Israelites, they were the enemies of the Israelites. And power was a big thing with the Assyrians living there. And eventually, the Assyrians conquered Israel. So there's really good reasons for Jonah going in the other direction. They were immoral people, and Jonah thought they did not deserve God's help or his own. How often do we make that call ourselves? How often do we make judgments of those people in the world and sit upon God's throne of judgment to them and tut, 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 tut. I'm glad I'm not them. I hope they get their just desserts. Guys, all you need to do is read the paper. Well, you do it online these days. Or go on I Love Karori. Seriously, if you want to know what I'm talking about, go on I Love Karori. We love, and I'm speaking to myself here as well, we love to sit in judgment and feel morally superior to others. And rejoice secretly when people get their just desserts. Okay? This is Jonah in us. I've got a question for us. How merciful and humble are we when we look upon the world and those in the world? How merciful and humble are we when we look upon those in the world? Beware when we are tempted to become the judge. Why? Well, Jesus says in Matthew, because how you judge, you too will be judged in the same way. It's pretty hard-hitting stuff. So the measure that you use for judging others will be used to measure you. Does that sound unfair? No. Tim Keller says, when he's preaching on this theme, he says, experiment you should do is record yourself for a day, the things you say about others, and then play it back to yourself, and you'll be very, very surprised at actually how judgmental we can become without realizing. Just like Jonah. I think the church used to be worse off than what it was or what it is now. I think the church used to be much more judgmental in the days when church was what most people went to because it was in a position of power. And I think they used to judge people who were, you know, divorced or had brokenness in their lives from a higher position. And I think the church is coming increasingly into a place where it cannot be there, where it needs to actually be what Jesus intended it to be, which is forgiving and gracious, even to those who don't deserve goodness and grace. Major, isn't it? That's really significant, but that is the gospel of Christ. Now, you'll be asking yourselves, I preached to the previous congregation. Someone came up to me and said, Ian, I have real problems with Mr. Putin. He used that accent too. And I said, well, that's fine, because Jesus has made a way for you to deal with that. And it's interesting, in the story of Jonah, it does allude to Christ. And you cannot see the full picture of Jonah and without the New Testament. Without Jesus. He brings it fully alive. So it's interesting, when Jesus is challenged by the authorities and the teachers to show them a sign or a miracle, he says, the only sign that you shall have is the sign of Jonah. 3 days, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth. And on the third day, he will rise again. That is the only sign you shall have. He was prophetic. He knew exactly where he was going, what he was doing. And through that conquering of death, Jesus overcomes, and we'll celebrate that in a moment with the Eucharist, he overcomes that spirit of judgment that is a temptation for us. You can forgive someone like Putin. It's pretty difficult. So hard. But guys, the older we get, the more wounds we have in our lives, if they're not dealt with and they build up. So right at the end of your lives, when you become Ian becomes an old, toothless, bald man in the bed, you know, unable to walk, what is in my spirit will come out. If there's unforgiveness and there's layers of unforgiveness in my life, they will come out unless we deal with them in the present. And you have an opportunity to today. Not just today, but in the days ahead as well. But you have an opportunity today to get prayed for that, just with a blessing during communion. So if you want the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, I will just bless you with some oil. There's no big deal. And pray for God to bring his life and ability to forgive, as Jesus did his enemies, into your life. Amen. Now, the last thing I want to mention, and it's finishing on a high here, the second thing is, if we are unforgiving and we are like Jonah, dumb in that regard, he was a racist, by the way. Our witness to the world is hugely compromised. Hugely. Now, we've got an amazing opportunity here with TK. It's been amazing coming back. I'm just so overjoyed to see the cafe running so well. And our young people coming and working in the cafe, it's amazing. And it's like the family coming back together again with a purpose, a missional purpose. Ruth and I were with Kaitiaki last week, I think it was, and this chap, we're up on Moynihan Reserve. I'm going to finish with the story. And he is about my age, and he made a beeline to me, and we just started talking about his life. And he'd come back from overseas, marriage had broken up, and he was looking after his elderly mum, and his immediate family were kind of at odds with each other about the whole thing. And I said, look, come to Te Kororia, bring your mum. There's a number of elderly people there. There's a number of kids there. There's a beautiful place. It's big. Come and have a coffee. Bring her. Have something to eat. Nice little outing. And then take her home. If I'd said to him, come to church, no way. No way. But we have got this gift, guys, where we can invite people to an amazing hospitality place that is church-based. It's beautiful in there. The hymn boards, and Natalie and Kim have done an amazing job with the fit out and the design. The hymn boards with the coffee prices. Okay, there's a lot of church stuff in there. There's Kim. The water table, which is a prayer table, and Ryan's helped too with the bench around there for sitting on. I can't remember what it's called. What's it called? Oh yeah. Yes, banquet. And the other thing is the bar is made from the pews from the church. It's just stunning. So do come on in. It's beautiful. It's restful. It's also engaging for the kids. It's an amazing place. And thank you so much, all of you, for supporting that. It's all of our work, partnering with God, that's allowed that to happen. So thank you so much. But also use it for inviting your friends. A number of the 9 o'clockers are in there with their friends, inviting them in, because it's a great place to invite people to. So bless you. Use it. Use it. Forgive and reach out. Forgive and reach out.